everybody, welcome to a fantastically award-winning episode of... Fantastically award-winning?
It's a fantastically award-winning one.
Episode of the Geek Food Podcast. My name is Tejas. With me today, as usual, Dinkar and Jishnu.
I expected a more like awards-ish intro.
Oh, wait, what? You want me to do a musical number?
Welcome to the stage. We need some like music. Well, they have presenters and we're presenters.
Oh, then I have to crack a joke before that.
Yeah, you got to crack a joke.
Hey, why did the cow cross the road?
Hey, my name is Dinkar. What's up?
To get to the other side.
Oh, no.
Okay, Dinkar and Jishnu.
Yeah.
Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the award season and movies that we usually don't review on this show. We did an episode a couple of weeks ago where we kind of went through 1917 and you maybe kind of brushed upon this type of movie, which we usually don't discuss because we're mostly about science fiction, adventure, action, fantasy, etc. Though some people on Twitter berate us otherwise. Now we're going to be doing that episode which everybody wants to hear, which is the best movie of the year.
According to awards.
Didn't we do this like four times already?
No.
And we swore we'd never do a review again.
But according to this is a review of the Oscars.
Of awards season.
Yes,
in
awards season.
Yes.
The Oscar bait, as they say. The snubbed, the unsnubbed, and the unsullied.
Yeah.
Let us do a very systematic breakdown of all the nominees.
Yeah.
And let's briefly touch upon the films.
Use the Oscars as the North Star and then talk about like the snubs that happened at the Oscars. As
cool.
Well.
All right.
Wait, did you guys watch the Oscars first of all? Let's talk about that.
Bits of it, yeah.
Ish.
Yes.
Does 30-second YouTube
Do you have a
count?
Favorite moment from the Oscars that you saw this year?
Martin Scorsese's face at the Eminem performance.
Okay, great. Great one. Great pick. What about you?
Billie Eilish's face at the
Eminem performance. No, what
in
was
general.
It?
At one point, Maya Rudolph was doing a bit and she was like, "What is going on?" Which became a meme where it was like, "This is how millennials react to everything." But
she's
really,
not even a millennial. She's like a Gen Y.
Yeah. And I don't think she was like making fun of it. She was just surprised at how bizarre they were being, which is like, that's Maya Rudolph's thing. She's amazing.
Amazing. I love Maya Rudolph. But my favorite thing was a guy named Utkarsh who rapped a recap of the Oscars far in
Dude,
the middle of the
thing.
That's
my boy UTK, Utkarsh Ambudkar.
He's so good.
What the
love
hell
that
are
guy.
You talking about?
I know.
Utkarsh
this is the point.
Ambudkar is an actor and rapper. He's been in like the Mindy Project
yes,
and stuff.
Mindy
and
Project.
He was a part of Freestyle Love Supreme with Lin-Manuel Miranda and two other amazing people.
And he's he's got a couple of movies that are coming out this year. So he's expected to blow up.
Oh.
And I think this was a subtle like
he
insert.
Just did a show on Broadway. He was doing the Freestyle Love Supreme Broadway show.
Yeah, but as
which
in like
Lin would pop in with.
But he's in a couple of movies that are coming out.
I believe so.
Is he in the Heights? Is he going to be in the Heights?
I
I'm
don't
not sure.
Think so because he's like he's not been in any of Lin's stuff other than Freestyle Love Supreme mostly. But that's freaking great, man. They've got like Chris Jackson on it. There's a
nice.
Their beatbox is called Shockwave.
Shockwave.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's like a Transformers thing.
Fun fact: he's also done a song with Monica Dogra. They're friends.
Of course
what
they are.
What the hell is happening?
I know. Yeah. This is the kind of this is why you come to the Geek Food Podcast.
Dude, UTK is a great rapper.
Yeah.
Is Utkarsh he in any cool. way, shape, or form related to my boy Naresh, who is one of 18 contestants on Dan France and Alexa Chang's
Oh, are you watching Next Impression? Oh my god.
15 minutes of it. But I couldn't believe I was watching it.
Then I have some bad news for Naresh.
God. Is he is he called Naresh
Ambudkar? He has a square and round pair
and,
of glasses.
Yeah, I have some
glasses.
Bad news for
oh,
you.
No.
Episode 2, Jishnu.
Oh, damn it. Okay, anyway.
Of course, why don't you come to me with this information?
Let's
every time you watch
get
something
to this
on Netflix.
Let's get to this goddamn mother. This list is not small, everybody. Okay, we're starting in backwards order of importance according to this list in front of me. I don't know who made this list. Okay, visual effects. Here we go. I'm going to name all of them. This is the game. I'm going to name all of the things. You will tell me who won. I will then tell you you're probably wrong, and then I'll tell you
but
who
we saw
win.
The Oscars.
Okay, never mind. Visual effects.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame, The Irishman, The Lion King, 1917, and Rise of Skywalker.
I will say this. Suicide Squad has one Oscar what? More than Endgame
God
does.
Damn it.
True.
Answer the question. Answer the question.
For makeup, right?
No, yeah,
visual
for makeup.
Effects, you
for visual effects in this.
Word, I say.
So I'm just
we
ruling
We had
out.
Started a digression, Jishnu.
I said
no,
get back on
no, it's not. Jesus. It's not a digression because there is a point
You're
I'm trying
the
to make.
You're not the host of this.
Endgame
There's
has
no
won.
Host.
There are
has,
no hosts.
Has won zero Oscars. So that's why I know it's not Endgame. But read out the nominees again, please.
Endgame, Irishman, Lion King, 1917, Rise of Skywalker.
I believe it is 1917.
Dinkar?
I think so. 1917, the number of effects shot in that movie.
You all are correct. Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Moving on. Film editing.
Surprisingly, very good visual effects in that movie.
Yes. Are we all on board with this? Anybody is morbidly offended by this?
I was watching a breakdown of the VFX of Endgame with
On VFX artist React.
Yeah, yeah. So good. The Carter crew guys did it with someone from Weta, I think. Yeah, yeah.
That guy, he looks like he's a...
He's a vet.
He's a vet.
Yeah, he's a vet from Weta. Anyway, he was talking about how the last couple of shots they did, they delivered 2 weeks before the premiere.
Yeah, but that's because
insane. That's because they had to work on the reshoots.
Yeah, because Robert Downey Jr.'s line of I am Iron Man only came in much later in the same year. Yeah,
astonishing though, right? The biggest, like possibly most well-planned movie in ages, and they're still doing stuff 2 weeks post the fact.
What is this?
Harley Quinn is changing the title after the release.
Agency in Andheri. Yeah, sorry.
This is so common now. Insane.
I think, but I think they know they'll pull it off. That's why they're allowed to push their deadlines a lot.
Like in this case, they obviously pulled it off. We didn't even hear about it. Like even now, it's just being talked about. And like, oh yeah, we had to do it like super last minute, but we figured it out.
I mean, what are they going to do? Release like a patch for the movie, like a week
like
after
Cats?
Its release?
Yeah.
Oh wait. Moving on.
And Harley Quinn changed its title after the movie came out.
But they fucking knew they should have done that.
Yeah, that's so surprising. Dumb. It's like they put out the movie like, no, new name. I blame Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey.
They should have called it Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey from the beginning.
Well, yeah. All right, go on, Jishnu.
Film editing.
Okay.
Ford vs. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Parasite.
Oh, is 1970 not there?
Nope.
Is there no editing in that film?
Nope.
I'd say possibly a tougher editing job on that one.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, well, you have to six times you have to edit.
Yeah.
But it's in-camera editing.
Well, they did some post-editing. Yeah, well, I mean, like, sure, but like, also... Yeah. Together. That's why they won Best VFX.
We're talking about Ford vs. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, and Parasite.
What do you think the 1917 deleted scenes will
be? We're talking Ford vs. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, and Parasite.
Yeah.
The Irishman.
They just?
Irishman as well. Yeah, I think so.
Nine.
Oh.
What one?
Jojo Rabbit?
Nine.
Oh, you said nine. I thought it was Jojo Rabbit.
I just said the word no in German. That was it. Parasite.
Oh, well done.
All right. Okay, yeah.
I still haven't seen it.
It's good.
Yeah, it's
fantastic. I won't say it's better than my other favorite film of his. Actually, I liked Okja and and Snowpiercer better than Parasite. But Parasite is a movie... it's a relevant film. It's great.
Oh, really? Yeah. I think I preferred it to Snowpiercer and Okja.
I mean, maybe it's because...
I mean, like, yeah.
I can't just not love Snowpiercer.
It's a great movie, but man, this Parasite was freaking fantastic.
I will always love Snowpiercer more because that is the underdog of Bong Joon-ho films. So it's fine. Because I knew that movie was great from the get-go. Nobody recognizes it and people still don't talk about it. Maybe now they will.
They are starting to talk about it now.
But
I
love it because it's freaking amazing science fiction.
It's a great movie.
And I love Okja also. And what is the other one? The Host.
The Host,
also dope.
Yeah.
Man,
Parasite is very similar to Snowpiercer in the sense that like it's got similar themes.
Yeah,
and
it's the same. It's class warfare. Yeah,
exactly.
But like I think the last 20 minutes kind of get a little shaky for me on Parasite.
Slightly. It's a surprising ending, but I kind of like, it's not something you expect, but that's also what I kind of enjoyed about it.
Also, I felt like...
Like, how do you close out a story like that?
But I've seen it, like, Parasite reminded me a little bit of like, it was a mixture of like Get Out and Us. It felt very Jordan Peele, this film.
Somewhat, yeah.
Wasn't it? Like,
a little bit. But I think that's why I like it.
I mean, for very obvious reasons.
It picked up themes like Snowpiercer and Us do, or Get Out even, for example, but it grounded in like such a realistic thing, which I really loved.
Yeah, it's solid.
I think I've made a terrible mistake.
What happened?
What?
I'm looking at this list in front of me.
Hmm?
The next category and several others in this list now, I realize, have several movies marked.
Okay.
I have a feeling I'm just looking at a list that
Ruchi
Vasudeva has just given us, which I think just has her picks.
Oh yeah,
that's her Oscar pool.
I'm not
that's
sure what she's looking at. That's what we're looking at.
My God, James.
Wait, well, she may have been right. She's actually the best at this game.
I don't know if we're
but
right.
She's picked multiple for some.
Exactly.
How are you using that?
I thought these were the winners. I think these are just her choices.
Yeah, clearly they are.
She's gonna love this. Anyway, can we find the actual list?
Oh my God.
Maybe we were right then.
Wow.
Wait, so that we have to do a
do-over.
This
is why.
We gotta do it. We gotta start again. Start
this is
the
why
bottom.
The Oscars don't have a host anymore.
You just did this.
Yeah.
Same thing.
You La La Landed us.
You moonlighted us.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
My God, Jigs.
Does that make
I'm sorry, that's been a mistake.
does that make her, what's his face? Warren.
You're Warren Beatty and.
You're both
and the missus.
And what's her
name? Faye Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway, thank you.
Jesus.
But you can come next year and make amends.
Send one quick Google of the actual list.
I gotta Google this
Tell us
again.
More about Parasite.
Okay, wait. No, I want to say something. While I'm Googling this, I looked this up because I was most excited to look at...
Just
know
you had one job.
I was excited for people with screenplay. I wanted to look at adapted screenplay and when they've had their first ever Oscar for an adapted screenplay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fun fact, according to Wiki, so I could be totally wrong all over again because it's Wiki.
It's okay.
Apparently,
Wiki's accurate for stuff
like
this.
Apparently, the first ever Oscar for adapted screenplay was in 1929.
Okay.
Yeah. What
sounds fine.
What did they adapt from?
I don't know. I didn't really
I mean,
but
I
here's
think
the interesting
folk,
part.
A folk song.
Wait, here's the interesting
the first
part.
Bunch of movies are all adaptations.
Stop. No, this is where it gets interesting.
Yes.
Plot thickens. 1929. First adapted screenplay. When was the best original screenplay, Oscar?
Until the 50s, maybe?
1940. So
everything was adapted.
They've been adapting longer than they've been originating.
I think
fair
to say.
Because the medium existed way, way after a bunch of stuff like theater existed.
Yeah,
right?
They're
obviously adapting from books
strange,
and things like that.
Which is different for the next great medium that came about, which was video games, where they didn't adapt, they just had to create completely original, which is kind of interesting.
Because they weren't seen as a storytelling medium at first.
It was a recording of like stage play kind of stuff, right? Like more theatrical in that regard. So I'm actually not surprised by this information.
But
it's cool though. I like that.
It's like you created a new medium. Well, how are you going to write a screenplay? You go to a guy and go like, hey, write me an original screenplay. They're like, wait a second.
It's like, what is
what's
this
a screen?
tell us who
what
won
if there's
that?
A train and it's going right at the audience, freak the shit out of them.
Or some workers exiting industry.
Exiting a train station.
tell us this, Jishnu, who won the 1929 Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay?
I didn't look it up.
Oh, God.
I am looking up is this year's Oscars. So,
wow, Jinx.
That's good transition.
Right? See what I did?
I'll give you that.
We just wasted like a good 11
minutes. No, this was not a waste.
We're not really arguing about the winner specifically. We're just using this as a structure to talk about movies.
It was Benjamin Glazer for Seventh Heaven, Jishnu.
I see.
Who the hell is that?
He's the guy who won in 1999.
Who Antriksh is showing us right now on his phone.
Sounds like a stand-up guy. Okay.
Seventh Heaven? Sounds
not sure what that is.
Okay, I do need to pause.
It's after the first six. Hey, tell
us. Man, these lists are huge. So much scrolling. Okay, wait. I'm getting them.
We need to have a musical performance.
I'm getting them. All right, yes, makeup and hairstyling.
Yesterday.
Right, makeup and hairstyling, huh?
Yes.
All right.
Whew.
Okay. Bombshell, Joker, Judy, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. What?
The sequel to Maleficent.
And 1917.
For makeup and hairstyling?
Bombshell, Joker, Judy, Maleficent, 1917.
I think Bombshell won for this one, right?
Probably.
Right, you are. Okay. Moving swiftly.
Because, man, I saw the trailer for that.
No,
we're not talking about winners here. We're talking about the movies.
But, so, Bombshell, I didn't catch it, but when I saw the trailer, man, Charlize Theron, I couldn't recognize her in that first
one. Freaking incredible. Yeah. I've only seen clips on late night talk shows, and I went, this is a great movie that I'll never see.
What, Bombshell? Why?
Looks like a fun movie.
I can barely watch the
John
other
Lithgow
ones.
Is in it.
I can barely watch Parasite. The whole world is having me watch Parasite. I haven't seen that. What am I going to see Bombshell? Yeah, I know. Bong. I can say names, too.
What's Bong?
Jun Ho.
Haven't heard of this man.
You're just talking about his people.
Well, you like he said Charlize Theron and you just made a sound effect like
bong.
Alright, go on.
Film editing. You get one more shot at this.
Wait, tell us the makeup and hair nominees again.
God damn it. Bombshell, Joker, Judy, Maleficent in 1917.
Weird that Little Women wasn't nominated for this.
I've not seen it yet. I haven't seen it.
Fantastic movie, of course.
Film editing.
Okay.
Irishman, Ford vs. Ferrari,
we
Parasite,
discussed
Joker,
it. Tell
Joker
us who
Rabbit.
The actual
I think Ford
was.
V Ferrari won this.
Yes. Editing, girly?
Yeah.
Ford V Ferrari won best editing?
It got nominated for stuff. Also, it's an average film. That's my take. Let's move on.
I didn't even get around to seeing it. It didn't look like the most appealing.
Did you guys see Marriage like Story?
Huh? Yes.
What did you think?
I loved it.
Head over heels. And I really wanted cinematography and editing for that one. I really enjoyed it.
It was really, really good.
Cinematography for sure. Editing?
Man,
there were a couple of moments in Marriage Story where I was just like, wow, that's a choice.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. But I
because
think
it's
Ford,
like, I think I know what you mean, and it's like this type of movie doesn't usually have those moments. Because like those like, oh, that's a choice, works a lot. It's a lot easier to do when you have an army of 100 people and you have purple giants and you have dragons. And like you can do weirder things. Like you can get away with weird shit. But a simple, very wholesome kind of film like this, when you take bold choices like that, you're totally right. It does stand out. And I think that that's a lot braver.
I feel like some things with the other, like basically,
like
there are a couple of moments where, bold choices. You know what should win best editing, really? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Fucking what editing in that movie?
Another perfectly okay film.
I have a spectacular theory about Tarantino's editing based on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We'll discuss later.
Okay, fine. We can talk about
it.
Did
you notice the jump cuts in that movie? It's ridiculous. They're so, like, Tarantino has for a long time been a guy who doesn't, like, care about continuity.
Yeah.
Okay, but I noticed that start happening from Inglourious Basterds where, like, basically he threw stuff like the 180 degree rule and stuff out the window.
Yeah.
And it's gotten worse over the years. Particularly in this movie, there are scenes where, like, a guy's wearing a hat, then he's not wearing a hat, like Leonardo DiCaprio's head changes between shots. I have a theory as to why he does that.
Okay, cool.
We'll discuss it after we run through
Jishnu's list. Maybe when I have a theory.
Ooh, cool. I love theories.
I have a scientific theory for it.
I have a, like, film theories.
Cool. I got
it. Alright, Jishnu, give us the next category.
Visual effects, Avengers, Lion King, Star Wars, Irishman, 1917.
We discussed it. Who won?
1917. Amazing. Right, original score.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man. Okay. I really wanted Tom Newman to win this because I thought 1917's score is one of my favorites of all time.
I wanted his bro Randy to win it.
Randy also. By the way, did you watch Randy's performance? It was like a nice, sweet uncle playing his piano going like, I can't get you.
Dude, Randy's always got like that. He's always got like a nice, sweet uncle vibe, but he's an angry dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's been nominated 19 or 20 times and he's won
17 times, I believe.
1 second. So, Tom Newman did an amazing job.
Absolutely.
Having said that, Hildur, who won for the Joker, did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
But I am counting this as a win for Chernobyl, which did an amazing job with the score, which is what Hildur did as well.
Sure. Yes. Okay. Fair. A moral victory.
Yes.
Go on, Jishnu.
Well, he just told us the winner.
Hildur.
Yeah. I meant go on to the next category.
Okay, then. Live action short film.
Not seen any of these. I'm very upset.
Man, it's always hard to see the live action short nominees.
Because they don't release them.
Typically, no.
Yeah. How to watch these, man? Movie?
I don't know. Actually,
video?
I don't know. Mubi wouldn't have it. Mubi just does like
Indian
films.
Short films.
Huh?
Oh, I thought they do short films from India.
No, they do like hand-picked long-form films.
Oh.
I don't know if they have a short
section.
Oh,
then there's another platform which does short films only. Maybe I should check out that.
Vimeo. These would eventually go up on Vimeo, I suppose, at some point.
Yeah, a staff pick.
Anyway, give us the nominees and tell us who won directly.
Tell us if we've heard of
directly any directly tell us.
Brotherhood, NAFTA Football Club, The Neighbor's Window. The winner,
mm-hmm.
and Saria, and A Sister.
Not heard of any.
Yeah.
They all sound like movies to me.
Okay.
Animated short film.
Oh, yes.
Same deal. What? DCERA. Something in this word is silent. I don't know which letter.
Probably the D, but anyway.
The Carer.
In parentheses, daughter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good Pearl Jam song.
Nice.
Hair Love, Kit Bull, don't Memorable, and Sister. The winner is.
Who? I don't know. We'll discuss all the animated stuff on a different episode.
This is dramatic tension.
Just do it.
Hey, love. Sound mixing.
All
okay.
Right.
1917, nice. Ford versus Ferrari, Once Upon a Time, Ad Astra and Joker.
I think Ford versus Ferrari definitely won this.
1917.
Oh, really? Very good.
Interesting. Yeah, good call, actually.
You know, I love it when they mix the sound, actually.
Yeah. Unmixed sound sucks.
Yeah, PVR, we're looking at you.
Sound editing.
Yeah.
Ford vs. Ferrari, 1917.
So when they say this, they mean the editing was sound or is it just for sound?
This is sound editing. The best editing award and the sound editing award.
Sorry, go.
Right. Sorry. Nobody interrupts in the middle of the nominations list.
Well, maybe they should. The completely wrong list also.
You're saying Ruchi was wrong? She was. She was off with a few.
Yeah.
She was right with one.
Maybe anyway. At the end of this week, compare the winners to her pool.
Ford vs. Ferrari, 1917, Star Wars, Once Upon a Time in Joker.
Sound Once editing. Upon a Time in Joker?
Sound editing. Go for it.
Ford v. Ferrari?
Once Upon a Time in... Oh.
Yeah, come on, man. All those vroom sound effects.
I hope you guys are keeping score.
Man, this is stupid because...
Myself.
No, we're not.
Why?
We don't care. This is not a...
Yeah, we're not reviewing
the
Oscars.
Side.
Costume design.
Okay.
Little Women.
Yeah.
Great costumes in this movie.
I mean, it looks good. I don't know. I've not seen it yet.
Oh, it looks fantastic. And the costumes are actually spectacular. I was
this is
I
a
was
period
watching.
Piece, right? They've not modernized it or anything like that. In the sense, like, they've not set it in a modern setting.
Well, yeah. It is set in the original American Civil War time. Yeah. But they have done, like, some anachronistic stuff with the costumes
this
that
is what I hear.
They talk a bunch about. Where, like, there's stuff... Oh, I know what you're talking about. That Well, they split up the timeline, which is great because... Well, the main stuff in Little Women, the story obviously happens in like part two, which was called something else. Good Wives. Yes,
Good
Little
Wives.
Women and Good Wives. So they take those two parts of the story and kind of shuffle them around. And they do some fantastically modern stuff in the sense that
I think is the dialogue like updated and stuff?
No.
Okay,
not really.
Interesting.
It's not anachronistic in that way. It's definitely very well set in its time period, but they add some things. Basically, I believe what Greta did was take the intention behind some of Louisa May Alcott's writing and implement that. So like the ending completely changes the game in a lot of ways.
Wait. Beth lives?
No, you can't do that.
Okay,
good. Yeah, gotta kill it off.
Also, interestingly, how's my girl Saoirse Ronan?
Oh, she's fantastic.
I love her. She's so cool.
Absolutely. The performance is all around in this movie. Stunning.
She's been my favorite from Atonement.
Amy's such a, like, it's possible to play that character like a dick, and she does, but also in a way where you kind of like her. You're like, I get where she's coming from.
Nice.
We should discuss this movie.
Yes, we will.
Anyway, let's do this. Let's take a break and come back and hit the rest of the categories. So the anachronistic thing they do with the costumes in Little Women, I believe, is a lot of times they would talk to Timothée Chalamet and go like, all right, we'll take something from like 20 years ahead of this time and you're going to wear that now. And you'd be like, yeah, cool, because I know I can pull it off. He's dressed particularly well in this movie.
Nice. He's a smart boy.
Some interesting stuff. That one particularly interesting thing that they do in the movie is Joe and Timothy keep switching, Saoirse and Timothy keep switching the same vest back and forth. And there was just this, like, so Greta Gerwig explained it as, they're both in this like androgynous kind of phase. She's a bit of a tomboy, he's a bit of a dandy.
I can get that from both of them. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They
fantastic.
Can both do that. Yeah.
And a very colorful costuming choice for a period piece.
Sweet.
Which is also apparently accurate. Go on, Jishnu.
Cinematography. 1917, Once Upon a Time, Irishman, Joker, The Lighthouse.
1917?
My boy, Deakins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without question, man. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Marriage Story, not even on this list. God damn it.
What? Marriage Story, huh?
But also, this is always my plight with the Oscars. I only end up seeing like 40% of whatever the big hitters are.
That's fine.
And my 40% almost never make the big
man
list.
Yeah, like there's no,
I don't think I
you
have
haven't
ever,
seen 1917.
I don't think I have seen no I haven't seen okay. I haven't I don't think I've seen the Oscar winning movie before the Oscars in years. I can't remember the last time I saw the movie that won in time.
What won last year? Green Book, but I missed that.
No, I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I miss it as in like, yeah.
Much stronger year for the Oscars this year. For award season in general. For movies in general,
man,
shall we say.
Man, like Uncut Gems is not at all on any of these lists.
Surprising,
and that movie is f***ing insanely weird and different from everything I've seen so far.
Also a good choice for cinematography, actually.
Yeah.
It's a bizarrely shot movie. I
so
love
good.
It.
But I mean like, yeah.
Darius Conji.
Man.
Production design. Once Upon a Time, The Irishman, 1917, Jojo, and Parasite.
Once Upon a Time.
There you go.
That's that's our girl Barbara Ling.
Who does?
She's done a lot of fantastic stuff, including the best Batman movie of all time.
All time, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I mean obviously, possibly the best thing about Once Upon a Time is the production design.
Oh, fantastic. I was gonna say Batman movie. Forever. Yeah.
Director. Irishman, Once Upon a Time, Parasite, 1917, and Joker.
Bong Joon-ho,
yeah.
Are we all in?
I would say that's the right choice.
Agreement.
Give us those nominees again. Yeah, please.
Irishman, Once Upon a Time, Parasite, 1917, and Joker.
Man, really a very strong year. Irishman,
I would say.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Obviously fantastically directed. Okay, just spare 3.5 hours.
I'm just here to like read, basically. I just gave
no,
it for
it's
some
cool,
light
it's cool.
You had one job.
I've not seen Irishman either, man. Yeah. But
it's a great movie. Great direction, obviously. But it's just, it's competing against such a strong cast. By the way, Little Women not nominated in this? Shame.
Yeah, of course.
They have been,
to
of course,
that.
Called out for
at
that.
At the ceremony as well.
Understandably, because I think possibly the direction is the strongest thing about Little Women. She did something completely new with that story. And it's a classic story and it's timeless, but man, she timed it. She timified it.
Yeah, nice.
But I think this explains my plight perfectly. The only movie I've seen on this damn list is Joker. A movie that I walked out going pretty meh. That's the only one on Best Director.
And I can't believe you nominated Joker and not
Greta. Yeah, fair
freaking
enough.
Give us the others. Once Upon a Time. Okay, yeah. Well, obviously it's a strongly directed movie. There are choices in there.
Okay, there are choices.
Yeah,
I didn't. I tried to get into it. Like I like. It's so weird. For Once Upon a Time, I like Leo and I like Brad and I like the whole cast is cool.
Yeah,
but I struggled with what it was trying to say to me. Like what did he want to kind of like tell me in this film? And I'm looking for it. I struggled, man, through that movie. And it was way too long for me. And like, I don't know. I just didn't get into it. I don't know.
I enjoyed it. I have been thinking. I know what you mean. I get why you would have an issue with that. I still really like
the
movie.
Because there's some good threads in there. I know it's supposed to be this vignette-y kind of like piece.
Yeah.
But
it's not like there's an overarching plot or anything really.
Yeah, and also, and I'm going to say something really, really... Okay, maybe I'll get to the best supporting actor and then I'll say something controversial. But yeah, man, I just felt like the ending is like, you know, all right, I don't know if we're spoiling it or whatever, but it's like...
Jishnu hasn't seen it, no?
Nope.
I won't spoil it, but it's a classic Tarantino kind of move that he does in some of his films.
Sure.
And I saw it and I was just like, cool. And then the movie ends and then I was just like, okay, that was fun, I guess.
Yeah.
It was a fun watch. Mm-hmm. To just see these guys kind of do all these shenanigans. And mm-hmm. there are shenanigans. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I was like, what do I feel as a human? I don't know. Maybe I'm not supposed to feel anything.
So we've used the analogy of like roller coaster rides and stuff for movies like Mad Max before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like this movie and like late period Tarantino in general is going towards like... It's like an exhibit. You walk in, you look around, you go like, cool. Yeah. There's no like narrative necessarily.
Fair enough. No, I'm with you. I agree. But maybe, I don't know. There's something just...
Can I meet you in the middle? Mm-hmm. If it's not a roller coaster, mm-hmm. it's a little more than an exhibit. It's the like haunted house from Disney World.
Hmm.
It is technically a roller coaster because you're in a moving cart, mm-hmm. but it's moving really slowly, slow enough that you can see everything.
But I actually love those.
Yeah, and I love that too. It's a classic. It's like, it's harmless. It's good. It's good old fashioned fun, but not in a... Like, Dinkar, you will not ride the Nitro roller coaster at Imagica, but you will get in the Haunted House roller coaster because it's barely a roller coaster, but it is moving, so you got to call it a roller coaster.
This is some shade actually being thrown at you, but okay.
Yeah. I think you've taken the metaphor and abandoned the premise of it.
I just want to insult you. Like, let's just be real. That's really all I want to do. Actress in a leading role. Harriet, Marriage Story, Little Women. Oh, I have to say other
you
people's names.
You have to say their names.
Jesus Christ. They wrote this list backwards. Cynthia Erivo?
Yeah.
Who this? Harriet, okay. Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story. Mm-hmm. Saoirse, Little Women. Renee Zellweger and Judy. And Charlize Theron and Bombshell.
So Renee Zellweger won this, and mm-hmm. I was just like, okay.
Well, we haven't seen the movie, but she was a front runner throughout.
It's in theaters right now, actually. Yeah. So it's not available anywhere else. But
surprising that it's a movie that's really only being talked about for her performance, right?
So tell us this. Has Renee Zellweger been winning the lead up to this? Like in the
I think
Actors
she's won
Guild
a few.
And all that
Did
stuff?
She win Golden Globes?
Not sure.
Do your job, Jishnu.
I'm just here to read shit, man.
Read out whether she won other stuff. Okay.
I exclusively read this episode's subject matter.
Okay, interesting. So I don't know, but apparently it's good. And it was nice to see Renee Zellweger, just generally.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Huh? It's been a minute.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, fantastic.
She's cool, actually.
She's cool.
I used to have a crush on her. I actually love her in Down with Love.
Of course.
What an excellent performance.
A great movie.
Probably her best.
Wasn't that right after she won her previous Oscar? She did Down with Love.
What did she win the Oscar for?
Cold Mountain?
Yes, thank you. And now, in Down with Love, and tell me, has she done this in any other film? Deliver a 6-minute monologue directly to camera in a one-hour that is unparalleled in any other movie that she's done.
Scarlett did that just now.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Renee.
You said it's unparalleled.
By her, I said, yeah, anyway.
Unparalleled by her, that's true.
Yeah, anyway.
All right, go on.
Actor leading role. Mm-hmm. Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory.
I've seen that.
Leo in Once Upon a Time, Adam Driver in Marriage Story, Joaquin in Joker, and Jonathan Pryce in Two Popes.
You know, I would have given it Adam Driver. I thought he was really good.
He was great.
He should have won, actually.
Absolutely loved him.
I mean, like, I know Joaquin did an incredible job, and I love Joaquin, so it's totally fine. And I'm all for comic book movies winning stuff. It's nice to see that. But I think Adam Driver just generally was... Like, he's doing a much harder thing, right? Like, because the Joker is a big performance and you have to be dramatic. And so it's... And I don't know who said this, but like, sometimes they confuse best acting with most acting. Mm-hmm. And like, there's much acting... as opposed to Adam Driver, who's kind of doing less with, you know, more with less. So I really liked Adam Driver. And you know, it's like weird. Marriage Story, that film, it kind of, I don't know if you guys found this happening, but you find yourself siding with people at different parts of the film, but keeps oscillating really equally.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, he's a dick, but then she kind of, and then you seem kind of get like, you know, put on the back foot by all the moves that he makes, especially with, you know, Laura Dern's character and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh, why is he doing this? And then, you know, that last scene happens and you're like, oh, no, wait, he's a dick. Mm-hmm. And so it kept like happening to me. And I think that is, apart from Noah Baumbach, who does an amazing job, another great movie, The Meyerowitz Stories. Great film.
Yeah.
But
again, very similar in the sense that
in the dialogue.
Yeah.
It's again,
I mean, that's a classic Baumbach thing.
But he's so good, man. Like I think he's got a real grasp. I don't know how. Do you find the dialogue? I think it's realistic, but I think there was like when I was watching this scene, like people put up this clip of the fight, you know, that they have, the final kind mm-hmm. of meltdown that both the characters have.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said, yeah, this is realistic. Some people said nobody waits for somebody else to finish their part in a fight. And then, mm-hmm. but you know, you have to kind of understand that both of these characters have been set up as theater actors, yeah. you know, and they're like both from this theatrical background.
Mm-hmm.
So they both kind of have like these, they have monologues, really.
Yeah.
It's kind
mm-hmm.
of stemming from that. And I found that to be fitting. So I was like, okay, cool, this makes sense.
I think so, yeah.
My other
it's a heightened reality also.
A little bit, mm-hmm. not too much. But my other thing was, wow, white people have arguments that make sense. That was my, like, when I saw the movie, I was like, wow, people are striving to make logical arguments against each other in fights. And that's a white person thing. In India, fights never happen that way. And like, nobody's trying to make sense and it's all chaos. So that was not very reflective of what I've seen.
What?
What? I don't think I follow.
So the arguments that they have when they're fighting against each other are quite rational, man. Mm. Like they're putting forward rational arguments
right.
at the point of most duress,
right.
which is something I have never seen in a real
yeah,
fight.
Yeah, I thought they went pretty rational. Like when he's like your mother and my mother and my father.
Yeah. And I hope
and
you die.
And all
stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
but I'm saying that's at the final crux of it.
Wait,
but
so what would the Indian equivalent of this argument be?
This would never happen this way.
So how would it?
I think it would be like lots of f***ing pot and pan throwing and like just like storming out, man. Trust me. I'm telling you this. I mean, so that was my thing, that this felt like America, you know, like in some
sure.
ways. And I couldn't relate some parts of the film, but I get
it.
Like,
is very America because it's so set in geography as
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
of course.
And the fact that like you're talking about living in two different cities that are like thousands of miles apart and you can fly in and out on a weekend and they're like the minute lawyers come in, lawyers actually do what they're supposed to do
exactly.
in an efficient manner.
And I'm telling you
like
this.
That would never fly
And I'm
in
telling
here.
You,
that
divorces have a 50-year head start upon like every other country in the world America has. And now in India only are like people kind of trying to make like things like prenups happen, like things like that. So I felt like
I
this
don't
is
know if that's
slightly
a
divorced
white
from,
people thing, possibly, but
I mean, just
it's a first
I, no,
world.
I see where
it's
you're coming from. Yeah.
yeah.
I would say, I get what you're saying now,
yeah.
but perhaps it's a class thing. It's
also,
like
also
the line from the other great, possibly the greatest movie of this year, Parasite,
mm-hmm.
where the mom at one point says, wealth just irons out all your flaws. You can
yeah.
afford to be like logical and rational and like nice to people.
Yeah.
But, like basically one of the poorer kids says, like these people are so nice. And the mom says, well, yes, they're rich. They can afford to
be nice. Yeah, exactly.
We can't mm-hmm. be. We got to be dicks.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Kind of what's happening here.
I agree.
Well, hey.
I just felt like, you know, that's slightly removed from a reality that exists pretty much everywhere else. Well, so Marriage Story is a wonderful film, man.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it, but some parts are just not relatable to other audiences, as opposed to say like a Parasite, which
yeah.
makes a much more global kind of impact because most of the world is in the position that like the class warfare is. Well, I wouldn't say America's not like that, but like this film,
well,
why
yeah.
Parasite deserves
while
to win,
a lot of the other movies
yeah.
are talking about class issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Marriage Story is firmly set in a very
yeah.
elite, privileged sort of society.
Not to say that those stories should not
Absolutely.
Be told.
It's,
because
it's still valid,
why
yeah.
it's still a great film for me is because it's telling an emotional one, which can happen to anybody, right? Like
mm-hmm.
divorce is universal, or like hate in a loving relationship that, you know, breeds in that is a universal thing.
Yeah.
And so for those reasons, I absolutely adore the film. But like sometimes when you see it's not that bad.
Yeah. I have often thought this about movies that directors often make, which are essentially about themselves
mm-hmm.
in a very like privileged sort of fashion, like Pain and Glory this year, for
yeah.
example, is pretty much like Almodovar going like, well, here's a director in his in the late stages of his career who's going through like a
and
lot of fiscal
Marriage Story
like,
is about Noah Baumbach
exactly
well, and Greta Gerwig
ditto with
yeah.
no it's about him and
hey, Greta Gerwig is the woman he is married to now.
Yes.
And who he kind
but the
of...
the story's about him and...
And his ex-wife, yeah.
Yes.
Basically the divorce
who was
that he had.
That? Jennifer Jason Leigh or someone like that?
Yeah, something... I can't remember. But yeah, it's
yeah.
about his own like kind of...
Exactly. And I've always thought that's such a odd choice because you take such an unrelatable thing, right? Like, it's been a thing since, like, back in the days of, like, 8.5 and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Pain and Glory essentially sounds like 8.5 again, which is, let's talk about me and my career as a successful director. And I'm like, you are an incredibly successful rich person going, like, look at my problems now. But 8.5 is a great movie. But I'm sure Pain and Glory is great. My Story is great because they take, like, a very specific experience and make it really universal.
Exactly. That's the thing. So it's okay if you can find the core emotion which you're feeling and obviously show it in the circumstances that you live in, mm-hmm. but as long as you can relate to it. So I can relate to Marriage Story, but like in terms of just the emotion of like just the contempt and the yeah. you know and things like that. But like some of the other parts, it's just like this is quite New York, LA.
I think like that's what I mean. That's what
and good, that's just the story.
That's what
that's
good
fine.
Movies can do, right? Yeah. Like they can tell you something that is not your experience, but you can relate to because yeah. of the Absolutely. Feelings involved.
That's,
typically,
that's literally what we yeah. put aside every time you watch any damn science fiction movie.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I know I cannot relate to what it feels like getting punched in the face by somebody that's twice my size and but still coming back to fight up.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. Stand
up. Like, you know what I mean? It's like
you set it up too easily.
Yeah.
For him.
Like the suspension of disbelief in these movies is going to be things like class and things like money and things like I'm not white, but the point is. End of the day, the bottom line is it's we love movies about good versus evil. I don't know the first thing about what it's like to live in space and in Tatooine and Dantooine, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But
no,
it's like, what are you pissing into the wind here? It's the fact that they're white and I'm not white, or that I can't afford to fly from New York to LA every other weekend. But the struggle is the same.
Hmm.
So you were dealing with semantics in a slightly, just a different visual language. I mean, we're not talking lightsabers and dragons. We're talking.
Well, I'd say the slightly different in the sense that there you're asked to take a leap of imagination.
Exactly.
Here you're being told about something that's not familiar to you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but as in you're basing it in reality and saying that this is a real story. And that's fine.
This is a kind of society that maybe you're not familiar with.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's fine. Anyway, give us the next guy.
I just felt it was pertinent to bring that up. That's all. Let's move on.
Original screenplay, speaking of.
All right.
Marriage Story. Mm-hmm. Once Upon a Time, Parasite, Knives Out, and 1917.
This is such a tough category. Honestly, I think between Knives Out, Parasite, and what is the Marriage Story? But Parasite, I think.
Parasite, yes.
Yeah, for sure. Because Knives Out is still like an adaptation. It's like a modernization.
Yeah.
This is best original screenplay, mm-hmm. right? And 1917 is fine. I mean, that's still not... I wouldn't give the... props to the writing of the story as much as the way it was executed.
True.
What was the first one? A Marriage Story. Tale as old as time. But yeah, so Parasite wins, I think, for me in this
it did.
One. Yeah.
There is this... So the way Bong Joon-ho writes his movies, other than the actual scripting part of it, is he storyboards pretty much everything himself.
Mm.
And I was looking at a bunch of images from his storyboard. It looks like a comic book. It looks like a proper graphic novel. Like everything is beautifully drawn. He's got this like very cool cartoony, like slightly caricaturish way of drawing. But you can like literally look at frames and go like, right, I know that shot.
Exactly. And you know, he's super meticulous. There was another thing I was reading that, you know, in the movie, the doorbell, I'll just say that, the doorbell rings exactly on like page 71, which is like the midpoint of the film, which is also where the intermission happens. But like, that's how he's planned it to kind of make that first act, second act kind of work. It's just like, that's the middle point.
Yeah.
Another great article I was reading about how they constructed, or at least how they constructed this house.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they have like used like a lot of weird techniques to make it look like it's two different floors, but it's actually not the layout you think in your mind when you're watching it.
Yeah.
It's like quite interesting. Yeah. I mean, there's a great link for that. But yeah, this guy is he's a meticulous, like he's an auteur.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, definitely.
He deserves a screenplay Oscar.
Yes.
Who deserves the adapted screenplay? Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Little Women, Two Popes, or Joker?
Taika won this one, yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
For Jojo Rabbit, a movie I still not seen.
Neither have I. It kind
really
of came and
it.
Went really quickly.
I'll give you this. I shot myself in the foot. I was really excited about this movie, and I started watching it, and I wasn't in the right headspace. I didn't see it in theaters. I saw a home release, and I...
It's out?
Yeah.
Oh.
And...
legally?
I saw it... sure. And I started seeing it, and I was into it, because it is... He does a great job of subverting whatever expectation you have of what the subject matter would contain of. And I didn't see anything going into it. So if you look at any marketing materials for it, you'll know what the twist is. That's what he's selling it on. I didn't know that. I just knew it as the Hitler.
I still don't know. I don't know what exactly the movie is about.
So,
I believe it's adapted from a book,
yes.
Right?
It is.
But that book doesn't have this Hitler character in it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that... is a twist that he's put in, but the thing that he sells the movie on, which like will ease people's minds of the apprehension of going in to see a vaguely comedic film about Hitler. Like, my mom was like, how will a Hitler movie be funny? I was like, just let me watch.
Have you not seen A Beautiful Life?
Beautiful Life?
What is the name of the movie?
You're talking about the one which all those memes are?
No. What is the one which he won for Best Director and Best Actor? The Italian guy.
Roberto Benigni?
Yeah, Roberto Benigni. What's the name of the movie?
Isn't that Life is Beautiful?
Life is Beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
I almost had it. Come on.
Yeah,
I spoonered it.
Yeah.
But that's a funny movie about the Holocaust, if you can even say that.
The Great Dictator.
The Great Dictator.
Well, point is, they didn't have... when I saw it, rather, I didn't know about the twist, and the twist is a good one, but the problem is, I wasn't in the right headspace to watch this. I saw it in like two halves, and so the minute I picked it up on my second half viewing, it was right when the big boom happens.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what
I'm trying not to spoil
this
movie.
What's the big boom? Like,
I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
It's a good boom, but I just shot myself in the foot. I was like, oh man, I should be caring a lot more about this boom. Hmm. He's doing it so well. So I watched the entire second half with like an arm's distance from the movie. I wasn't in it completely. You know
so
what I mean?
Confused. Okay.
Yeah, just like I done fucked up is what I'm saying.
Hmm. But is it a good movie,
it's
man?
It's a great movie. It's a really good movie. I know I didn't enjoy it half as much as I could have because I just didn't
give it a few
invest.
And then watch it again.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but really solid. I will say Little Women should have won.
Super
solid. For best adapted screenplay.
Yeah, because the work done in the adaptation was fantastic.
Irishman, Jojo, Little Women, Two Popes, and Joker.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just glad that like we can allow this subject matter to
Joker's
shine.
Joker's an adapted screenplay.
I'm really glad that we can have a movie about Hitler be critically acclaimed worldwide and be like, yeah, it's cool to like, if you know what you're doing, it's okay to make jokes about this stuff because it's about damn time we did.
Yeah,
but that has been happening for
I'm glad that we're finally like
onwards.
And we're now like crediting you for it on an international scale.
Yeah.
Like it's totally cool. Thumbs up. You cannot say that this was a bad idea.
Oh no, it's
like because there are because there are people that will still like say
Charlie
never
Chaplin
make
did
a joke
it, like,
about this
while the war was on, I believe.
Yeah,
I know,
exactly.
But
people
yeah.
choose to forget that.
And he was angry. He was like, this guy stole my mustache.
All right,
and he gave us one of the best vocal samples of all time. That speech is so
great. We're skipping
the
animated stuff for another episode for a cartoon
episode. What a cartoon series.
To be done soon. All right, original song. So we have I'm Standing With You from The Breakthrough. Into the Unknown from Frozen 2, Stand Up from Harriet, I'm Gonna Love Me Again from Rocket Man, and I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away from Toy Story.
You know what's so interesting and actually sad? But Frozen 2 was not nominated for Best Animated Feature, but was nominated for Best Animated Best Original Song.
Yeah,
it was an animated song.
It was an animated song. Best Animated Song. But I think that's the first time it's happening in a very long time.
Yeah,
maybe
interesting.
But I mean, they made up with Randy Newman and Toy Story 4, which won Best Animated Feature.
Mm-hmm.
But as it should have, I've not seen some of the other nominees yet, but. Yeah, we'll get to that in the other episode. But did you watch the performances of this at the Oscars? Very nice.
Yeah.
Except for Frozen, weirdly enough. So for Frozen, they did this thing where they got all the singers, the original singers from the adaptations, the language adaptations, so to sing one line from the second verse.
Right.
And not all of them were great live performers.
No. Yeah. Oh, no.
And because of that, Idina is always great. I mean, Adele Dazeem, she's
obviously
solid. What?
But you also didn't go to college with a bunch of white people who wouldn't stop singing Idina Menzel songs.
Dude, how can you not like Idina? She's from Rent. She's in Wicked.
Exactly.
Come
she
on.
She's in every big musical. And therefore, like, this is our marriage story problem. Live with a bunch of white people and then you will have you will see why Idina Menzel.
But I completely understand. I know that
so
there's
painful.
A popular like dislike for her and Kristen Chenoweth and all these people.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take it away, man. She's a legend, dude. And she's done three biggies, dude.
I know.
What's the third?
Frozen.
Oh, okay. Like
so Rent, Wicked and Frozen.
Oh, I thought you meant this year.
Oh, yeah. As in just,
this year she's done two greats.
And she's in Uncut Gems as well. Yeah.
So Rocket Man 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I think fine, because Elton.
I totally forgot that song.
Congratulations.
So, I've not seen the movie because I don't want to watch biopics like that.
See, I weep.
I've seen that John Lewis Christmas ad. I'm done.
Exactly.
That's perfect. That's
horrific.
The Elton biopic I want.
I weeped tears of anger and sadness and despair
in the first
15 minutes of Bohemian Rhapsody, because that's a movie that I couldn't be more personally invested in a biopic if I tried.
Yeah, that's true.
And the good thing about the Elton movie is that I love Elton. But
if you haven't seen Paul Bacon, the Elton John tribute act in St. Andrews or Tony
when I was watching Rocket Man, I didn't go in with the weight of like watching my hero on screen. So I was able to like keep some distance between that. I liked it fine.
Answer
it
me this question, Jishnu. Are there lyrics on screen when you're watching the songs?
No. Because
already
both,
a win.
Because both movies, I would never watch these movies in theaters.
Oscar for best no lyrics on a musical biopic.
But when I saw Rocketman, I was able to enjoy it because I had that distance from it. I was able to like separate myself, and I don't know every single thing about Elton like I do about Freddie. So I was able to keep that as well. But that being said, as much as I love Elton and his music, I couldn't sing you a note of this damn song. So it was a good movie.
It was a song written for the film.
Yeah, it was a song for the film, original song, right? So it's a good movie,
like Tiny Dancer.
It was like Darren was great in it. I enjoyed the story. I had a good time watching it. But I was like, the movie, the irony of when like the movie about a songwriting genius, his new song for his movie celebrating his songs is a forgettable song in my mind. I was just like, this is a
weird Beyonce and Lion King or something.
It's a hits phenomenon, right?
That would be like if Lion King was about Beyonce's songs.
Yeah, that's
true. This is a movie celebrating Elton John's songs. Yeah. Great movie, great songs in the movie. The song he wrote to capstone celebrating his songs. Yeah. Forgettable song.
So, dude, Abhimanyu
back
and
in
I,
the day when, no.
Sorry. Yeah, oh yeah, I was just going to talk about this clip which we saw from Howard Stern where Sacha Baron Cohen is talking about how the Queen biopic like for him fell through, and apparently he worked on it for 6 years apparently, and like he's like, why didn't you just get it from the get go, know that these guys are not going to do what you want? And he's like, I don't know, blah 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 blah. And so they spoke about there's this really funny clip, and he's saying that he's telling Howard, he's like, yeah, so I finally spoke to one of the band members of Queen, I won't say who, and Howard is like, Brian May, and he's like, yeah, okay, cool, I'm not going to say. But, you know, I was reading the script, and then in the middle of the movie, the original, Freddie Mercury dies. And he's just like, oh, I just found that part where Freddie Mercury dies in the middle of the film. And he's like, oh, it's like a Pulp Fiction thing. It's like a non-linear film. He's like, no, that's where Freddie dies. And then he's like, that's halfway through the movie. And then what happens after that? And he's just like, and then we show how the band goes from strength to strength. And they're just like, yo, I ain't doing this movie, man. Please don't. You know, that was what they wanted, because this is not a Freddie Mercury's movie. It's not a Freddie Mercury movie. It's a Queen movie.
Yep.
It was produced by them. Yep. So it was always going to be weird, which is why
it's a puff piece.
That's it's a puff piece, which is why I was so kind of like reluctant, you know, to watch Rocketman. Having said that, a movie that I felt did an amazing like it was an amazing type of biopic was A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood with Tom Hanks.
I loved it.
You saw it?
Finally did.
Yeah, so good. Because the bio, it's not really a biopic.
Yeah.
And the central character which you want to showcase is not the lead character, man. He's a supporting character. Yeah. And that just makes all the difference of the world. Like, everything you need to know about Mr. Rogers is told through the scenes of your lead character and your supporting character. And that's the best way to do it, I think.
I mean, strongly recommend for Beatles fans, Nowhere Boy, I think.
Nowhere Boy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
That's a nice one. It's also got a good touch on it. Similarly, I've told you about this, D. Did you finally see Killing Bono?
No.
That's a great one. I think you like the status too, because you don't need to know anything about U2 at all to get into it.
Okay.
Because it's told from the perspective of essentially their tongue-in-cheek rival, who is a member of a competing band when they were high school kids.
Oh.
So it linearly tells you the story from day one when Larry puts up the sign saying, I want to form a band, and the other guys that showed up.
Nice.
And then you just follow their story, seeing that U2 is across the way. Like, we're playing at the club because they're playing at that big arena.
That's
and
so
that
cool.
New town. So it's a really fun way to tell the story. And it's called Killing Bono, because it's about this guy who's like, I'm going to f***ing kill him. and he does attempt, like he goes down that path, and it's hilarious.
No spoilers, guys. Yeah. I don't know if he succeeds or not.
But yeah, you haven't seen Rocketman? Watch Rocketman. I think
cool.
You'll like it. It's
we'll
fun.
Do.
All right, next up, documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
Documentary feature, American Factory, The Edge of Democracy, Honeyland, Fosama? I don't know. And Fosama. The Cave. Fosama. All right. Anybody have any
not
idea
seen any
about
American
anything?
Factory one, I believe, right?
Do you know anything about this movie?
The Obamas produced it.
Okay, then.
Hmm.
Cool.
Apparently, it's about an American factory.
Go then.
Oh, is it just... Oh, I thought it's like factory... Like, you know how they put American before any name and then just like American gangster,
American sniper, American maid.
American beauty.
American hustle.
American boy, the song.
American pie, the
yeah,
movie.
Oh, my God, yeah. American stuff, huh?
Short. Documentary.
Okay.
In the Absence, learning to skateboard in a war zone. If you're a
girl, I saw the trailer for that. That looks amazing.
That's a title. Life Overtakes Me, St. Louis Superman, and Walk Run Cha Cha. What
did learning to skateboard win?
learning to skateboard in a war zone if you're a girl,
yeah,
did win.
Yeah.
Man, I love when you can put the log line in the title of your film.
Yeah. It's like, what's your movie about? Well,
let me tell you.
All right, international feature film. Parasite from South Korea, Pain and Glory from Spain, Les Mis from France. I didn't know there was a Les Mis from France. Honeyland, North Macedonia.
Is it?
Really? Because that's just bad. That's a bad marketing plan.
I'm sorry, what? Les Mis from France is the name of the movie?
Is it not the Les Mis?
No. I believe it takes the title.
Well, that's just confusing as hell.
Why?
Why would they do that to me? Because when I see it, I'm like, I'm not going to see this. I've seen it.
You're not going to see it anyway.
I know, that's what I mean. You're not helping the cause.
I think it was made for French audiences who knew this. All right, go on.
Nobody in the marketing team was like, oh, but what about Jishnu?
It's like a Love Aajkal.
Okay,
which
I know.
20 years later, it's like same movie.
It is
the same thing.
So it's a timeline, it's like a two-part...
It's
like,
got the same name, you didn't even call it like two or
is this
reborn.
Is this Imtiaz Ali?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Impossible. One second, when I saw this... We're stopping for a moment
okay.
to discuss this. When I saw the name, I was like, oh, but I've seen Love Aajkal, the original
yes.
movie. Oh, maybe this is just like, you know, taking the same movie and just, you know, same name and doing something else. But it's Imtiaz Ali.
There must be something different. I'm pretty sure it's Imtiaz Ali. I thought it was like a spiritual sequel or something like that.
But then it should be called Love.
I mean, the thing is, Kal is both today and tomorrow. I mean, yesterday and tomorrow. So maybe.
But Aaj is Aaj only, no?
Haan, correct. So before it was Love today,
Aaj,
tomorrow.
Today,
now
yesterday.
Love today, yesterday.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, other way also works.
So wait, so one is set, there better be in two timelines and one has to be set now and the next one has
this
to be set in the future.
It could be a prequel.
What if there are flashbacks where you go like, yeah. Do you remember when, and you cut back to the original movie
with Saif Ali,
like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where Margot Robbie is watching herself and it's Sharon Tate.
Yeah, exactly, on screen.
Which also ties into my Tarantino theory. We'll get to it.
Yeah, I also have a theory on that.
Alright, go on.
We didn't finish the damn international feature film list.
Yeah,
sorry.
Corpus Christi.
Alright.
Not seen.
Mm-hmm.
So who won?
Parasite.
Cool. Moving on.
Yeah.
Okay then.
Obviously.
All right. Actor in a supporting role.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time. Tom Hanks, Beautiful Day.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Supporting
role.
You know, it's interesting
that
they renamed it to
character.
International
so
category this year as opposed to foreign language.
I'm reading a list here.
Yeah, but you're talking about the Oscars and this was a big change. Wasn't
what was it? Sorry, again, go ahead.
It went from best foreign language film to best international feature.
Good, man.
Good sure. call. Yeah.
Awesome. Foreign language, it seems. Hmm. Your language is foreign to me.
Yeah.
So, sorry, go ahead.
They are speaking a foreign language.
We're watching a foreign award show.
Them Americans.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time, Tom Hanks, Beautiful Day, Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes, Al Pacino, The Irishman, Joe Pesci, The Irishman, and Brad Pitt. He won.
Yeah,
his name is on this list twice. Why
okay.
is his name
because he won.
Okay, here's my controversial theory. I don't think Brad Pitt should have won, but... I think this is like a recognition of all the work
he's
done.
Who would you give it to from this list?
I've still yet to go through Irishman. Joe Pesci didn't even turn up for the Oscars. That's that Joe Pesci energy.
That's because he's retired, man.
He does whatever the he wants.
Do you see Two Pops?
I think he was robbing a house.
Home
you know why?
Because
everyone else was away at the Oscars. Like, this is our chance.
Man, Joe Pesci is the villain in Moonwalker, the Michael Jackson movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? Where Michael Jackson turns into a car and then he turns into a fucking spaceship. Have you not seen this movie?
No.
Jishnu?
No.
Oh my fucking god. It's one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. We had it on tape. And it's basically like a greatest hits kind of medley video kind of thing where they just show different versions. Like there's a version of Bad where it's an alternate video where it's not Michael Jackson dancing in the, you know,
in this
in
one
the
you don't
lot.
Know he's bad?
No. In this one, he gets hit by this gas, which comes like the steam that comes out of one of those, you know, steam. Like little vents.
Right.
And then he converts into an 8-year-old boy. And this 8-year-old boy is the spitting image of young Michael. So he's kind of like I think he's, yeah, he's black.
Okay.
So but he's an amazing what do you call it, dancer. And he can do all the moves. And they just do the same video but with kids. It's the exact like shot for shot remake. And anyway, they do some other stuff. And then the Michael Jackson movie Moonwalker has this whole thing about how he's trying to take care of some kids. And these kids love, he's like these orphans, and he's trying to take care of them. And then Joe Pesci is this villain who wants to steal I don't know, something like that. And then he has to help them. And then he does that by turning into a car, a sexy car. And then like
a
he
sexy
turns in,
car.
And then at the end, when he saves them, he goes off into the night sky by turning into like a Transformer style spaceship, and then he shoots into the sky. How have you not seen this? Joe Pesci's a villain.
How odd. When the true villain for kids was Michael Jackson himself. Twist ending.
Woof. Okay, let's go.
Tom Hanks's manager in Beautiful Day, I forget his name, the older guy, slightly balding.
Yeah.
He is Mathazar in Galaxy Quest.
Mm-hmm.
My world's met. I couldn't be happier. Anyway, so yeah, actress in a supporting role.
Wait, we were talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, you want to explain why Bradley Pitt should have won?
I don't. I mean, because I don't think his. I mean, his performance was good, but there was nothing.
So then, who should have won?
I've not seen the others, as I mentioned, but I thought Tom Hanks was incredible, man.
So it's either Brad Pitt or Tom Hanks.
Give us those noms again.
I can only speak to Tom Hanks because he's the only one I've seen. Hmm. It's Brad Pitt, Tom Hanks, Anthony Hopkins in Two Popes, and Al Pacino and Joe Pesci in The Irishman.
Yeah, I'd give it to Brad. Bradley.
Have you seen
The Irishman? No, but I have seen The Irishman. I mean, those are both fantastic performances, but I think possibly the other actors are all veterans who have been like recognized over and over. The Oscars are, of course, they're rarely about just the movie itself, but also like a referendum on a career as a whole. Joe Pesci, Al Pacino, they know that stuff.
Exactly.
Tom Hanks has won, he's won twice in a row.
He's won twice in 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
But he hasn't won in like 20.
That's fine. He's a legend.
Yeah.
Toy Story just won. It's fine. Listen, the point is, I get it. I think Brad Pitt should win for, you know, his contribution to just cinema. He's been a producer
and
on so many movies.
Great performance in this movie.
Yeah, he's standard cool Brad Pitt guy in this movie. He's
with
not
some layers. I would say
there's some nuance in it, especially the backstory of his wife and all that stuff. That's cool, but I think he's produced so many good films that have won Oscars for so many 12 Years a Slave, blah blah blah. So many of these films.
Yeah.
So I think it is a recognition of that for those reasons. And I love Brad Pitt, so it's cool. Give him the Oscar. I mean, he's great in Born After Reading. He's so funny in that. He's great in a bunch of movies, including Ad Astra, apparently, which is the overlooked film of last year. We have it, but I've not seen it yet, so I'm going to catch that. But I'd say Tom Hanks, yeah, you're right, in the sense, I think Tom Hanks delivered on the performance more so, because it's a harder performance to do.
Sure.
And are you giving the award for most acting?
No,
as opposed to best acting?
No, it's not that much acting, man, for Mr.
Rogers.
For
Tom Hanks to play a super nice guy, yeah, it's not that much acting.
But his voice is, everything is you don't see Tom Hanks in this role, and very often you do see Tom Hanks in a role. Mm-hmm. When Tom Hanks speaks, I can only hear Woody. But the problem, most of his things, even including the movies like The Post and stuff like that, it's like, oh, here's Tom Hanks doing this movie or Bridge of Spies or whatever. But this movie, he does truly transform into Mr. Rogers. As far as I'm concerned, I thought maybe he should win for that. But
I think that's why, possibly the Brad Pitt role. I don't know who else could have done it as well, because of the kind of guy he is in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's perfectly cast as well. That's a huge part of it. And he's done bigger performances. He's done possibly better performances, I would say also.
Yeah.
But he's so laid back and underplayed in this role. I really enjoyed it.
I think I'd also give it to Brad Pitt only for the great speeches he's been giving after every time he wins one of these awards. He's been on a flippin' roll right now. So he's cool. He's fine.
Actress. Kathy Bates in Richard Jewell, Laura Dern in Marriage
Supporting
Story.
Supporting actress, you're saying?
Supporting actress, yeah. Kathy Bates in Richard Jewell, Laura Dern in Marriage Story, Scarlett Johansson in Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh in Little Women, and Margot Robbie in Bombshell.
Let me say, I believe Laura Dern is on her way to becoming the next Meryl Streep.
Please.
She's
could be,
fantastic.
Yes. Could be.
She's already there, pretty
she's,
much.
Yes.
She is. She killed it this year. God, she's been killing it for decades.
It's all the maneuvers, man. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Every damn scene in Marriage Story when she is in it.
She crushes it.
I distinctly recall myself going at the end of every scene that she is in, going, holy shit, what did she just do? Every damn scene.
Yeah.
I will say, and she won, so go her. I will say, ScarJo got nominated for Jojo Rabbit. Having seen both Marriage Story,
ScarJo Rabbit,
having seen Marriage Story and Jojo, she should be nominated for Marriage Story.
She was.
She's nominated for her supporting role in Jojo, not in Marriage Story.
She was also nominated for Best Actress.
Best lead actress.
Marriage Story.
Then I'm a very happy boy.
You're supposed to read a list.
We haven't got there yet.
She's made history by being one of the only few people who have been nominated
twice in the same year.
Yeah, for two different films.
Yay.
Imagine it's Joaquin Phoenix for best supporting as well.
He really supported himself there.
Someone had to.
Freaking look at this. All the Jokers keep winning acting awards, huh?
Yeah, and no Batman.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Interesting.
Okay. Now, best picture.
So you're telling me Heath won, okay?
For best supporting. And now he's won for best lead and best director.
Freaking Jared Leto is sitting in the middle going God damn it.
No, they said this. Who was saying this? This guy who plays
Joker.
No, he's not Joker, man. He's one of the actors on The Tick. What's The Tick's sidekick?
Patrick Warburton.
No.
Griffin Newman.
Griffin Newman, right? He put out this post saying that the first Joker Academy Award winner plays Joker. Then Joker actor wins Academy Award.
True.
Then again, Academy Award winner plays Joker. And then now again Joker actor wins Academy Award.
Nice.
So yeah, that being Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, Jared Leto, and Joaquin.
I like Griffin Newman. He's got a great podcast which him and a friend of his do called Blank Check. Fantastic.
Yes. He was also on Patrick H. Willems.
Right, he did that long form thing on the Marvel movies, right? Yeah, he's a true nerd. The podcast is fascinating because they do this thing where they talk about directors who are essentially given a blank check. So they talk about directors who reached a point where studios went like, do whatever you want, here's a blank check.
Nice.
And they use that starting point to explore the director's career.
Nice.
Fantastic, really fun. Chalo Jishnu, give us the next.
Last one.
Ready for next.
Best picture. Home stretch. Ford vs. Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Once Upon a Time, Marriage Story, Parasite in 1917.
Parasite won, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen most
Parasite
of these
won,
movies.
And I would say deservedly so.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should have won. I love
how
1917.
How many nominees was that?
9.
Yeah. And they can do maximum of 10. Why wouldn't they throw Uncut Gems in there?
Yeah, or not. Then they would have to include them in a bunch of other categories. But why
Which
wouldn't
they
throw Little Women is in this?
Yeah.
Okay, then that's
Little
fine.
Women was nominated for Best Film, but not Best Director, which I find odd. It was possibly... Actually, Little Women is another deserving winner, if you ask me. But Parasite, possibly. But you had room for 10. Because the rule is you go up to 10.
I don't know why they do this. This is so strange.
Because they wanted to recognize more movies that were...
No, Toy Story 4? Like, insane. Hey, I did think 1917 is like... I think it's a great film, man. Like, I think it's one of my favorite films I've seen, like... In a while. It's so weirdly different from... I mean, like, it's a war film, I get it, but, like, it's so incredibly well executed that I thought that if it wasn't going to be as brave a choice as Parasite, which is the right choice, but I didn't think the Academy had it in them to do this.
Yeah.
And this is a pleasant and good surprise.
Definitely.
But if Parasite didn't win, I wouldn't have been surprised if 1917 won.
Well, yeah, 1917 was a front runner. This was kind of an upset because 1917 has also been winning everything else.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine, though.
Understandably, because it's that like classic kind of movie that you can see awards juries liking.
Absolutely.
That's why I think it's amazing that Little Women won. I mean, Parasite won. And Little Women should have won.
Won, yeah. But this Oscars, even though the setup for it was strange... gave us some as in
the
well,
setup
you know,
meaning
the no host again.
That's
and
the second year in a row that's happened though.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're doing. You know, then there are a lot of snubs, and you know everyone always has some issues with the Oscars whether it's relevant anymore. But they did good.
I do believe that like the nominees are more important than the winners because you're just saying like these are some movies that were great this year and the winners are less important though obviously. Understandably, the talk becomes about the winners, which is why I find it more astonishing that Uncut Gems is like totally iced out of this.
That's a good way of looking at it. I've always thought that just in general award ceremonies, if you're totally right. I think the nominees are a far better metric of a year in focus rather than because the winners are completely arbitrary. The winners are just to select an knows who these
but
people are.
But sometimes I feel the nominees are so arbitrary as well. I mean, like, no, you know, the, you know
I'm
how
getting,
much
let me
money...
Finish, and, let me finish. What I'm getting at is that the nominees are more encompassing and we're talking about a completely... intangible, you know, unquantifiable entity saying that so-and-so is the winner. It's like, all right, that's what you think, but I'm glad that you at least recognized that there are more people than just the one. There are 9 other movies out there that were pretty f-ing spectacular.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. I think it's more important to have a longer nomination list that is more encompassing because the winner, like, is... You're always going to think somebody's snubbed from winning because there have to be a bunch of losers for there to be a winner.
Correct.
But I think there should be... We should embrace more losers.
But don't you...
There should be more nominees, I think.
Tell us
just
who
like,
the best actor nominees were again.
Actor.
Actor, yes.
Jeebus.
Joaquin won. Adam Driver was also nominated.
Then I think Anthony Hopkins.
Wait, you mean for lead role, right?
Lead role, yes.
This list is too big for its own good. Why is it going best picture and then best supporting actor? Why is that the freaking...
I would love to see the Oscars end with best supporting actress. You
actor,
know, just like,
actor in a lead role is between screenplay... And director. That's okay, that makes sense, I guess.
But, yeah, from
all right,
stage to
Antonio Banderas, Leo, Adam Driver, Joaquin, and Jonathan Pryce.
Okay. Interesting.
I think Leo did a really good job as well, by the way.
He did,
good.
But I mean he did a great job. Again, I think casting was like so good there. Yeah,
perfect. I mean I think
weird energy he brought to that movie. I really liked it.
He is so weird, man. I think he's just going for these like really out there roles.
Yeah.
He's solid.
Great performance actually. He did more acting than like Brad Pitt barely acted, which I loved.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler could have been nominated in here. Absolutely. I wonder if you'd knock like a Jonathan Pryce out for being a Pope in a Two Popes.
So this is my point that I'm trying to get to, right?
Hmm.
That
these it's a tight category, though.
The nominees are arbitrary, not arbitrary also, but like a lot of them, there is something called Oscar season and like how much money they put into marketing. And like when Netflix went guns blazing with Irishman, Two Popes, Marriage Story and put all this money behind them and Parasite won, that was cool. That was like a interesting way of looking at it because there's so many movies like Uncut Gems, which aren't just going to be overlooked sometimes because sometimes there's not enough money to promote it, or sometimes there's not enough. There's so I'm sure there are like 100 movies which are better than these movies which are there in the nominees, like specifically films that we may not have seen, or like Ford versus Ferrari. Like, why is that movie there? You know, so many movies, but because they have like money and connections, that's how they get into the race. So that's why I always feel like the Oscars is cool, but like it's a lot like the Grammys, man. Why are these albums the best albums?
That's
and all?
Always
like,
been the case, yeah, though. I know. Like, I mean, it's an imperfect system. It's an imperfect awards system. Don't really make
which
sense
is,
in that
which
way.
Which is fine. So the good thing that is about it, yes, is that sometimes if like, you know, a movie which doesn't have any business being there gets some good promotion, and in this case wins, like Parasite.
Yeah.
Insane, man. Like, ever since Harvey Weinstein has gone, apparently there's a good story between how Harvey Weinstein kind of muffled the release of Snowpiercer because of, I had no idea. So, yeah. I mean,
that's really why it's an under-recognized movie.
And that's my point. Like,
he muffled
it's so
because
bizarre.
Bong Joon-ho did a cut and Harvey Weinstein insisted on a bunch of changes. Then they screened Harvey Weinstein's version, and it's a great story that he tells where he's like, so I was watching the screening and everybody, like, nobody understood the movie, and they're like, this doesn't make any sense. Harvey's like, he was like, oh my god, Harvey's finally gonna come to me and go like, you're right, we've cut out too much, let's go back to your cut. So he comes to Bong Joon-ho, he goes like, man, they didn't like it, we gotta cut out more. So then he insisted on screening his cut because of like some contractual thing, and the audiences obviously like that better, and Harvey Weinstein didn't like that, so he was like, limited release.
So he's gonna this guy over.
Yeah,
mad. And then there's another good story is that where he had to convince Harvey Weinstein apparently for like some scenes, and he's like, there's one scene where somebody's holding a fish basically, and he's like, oh, I really need to include this scene, Harvey, because my father was a fisherman and this is an emotional one. Harvey's like, oh, yeah, whatever, it's fine. And then later he's like, my dad's not a fisherman. He's not at all a fisherman. Anyway, it was just like, it's that guy's a genius.
he just assumed, he's like, yeah, sushi, that's right. You guys do that. No,
perfect.
We don't.
That's probably like that's exactly guys. What that's, Harvey Weinstein thought. Yeah. But yeah, man, so I'm happy for Parasite and maybe some of the other films that should get a little more recognition. But yeah, you're right, it's an imperfect system. There are movies that we haven't seen from last year which could have made this cut. I mean, Uncut Gems, obviously, Ad Astra. So many films that we should and could check out. That
the good thing is it does open up the gate a bunch more, right? Like, the factor that determines the nominees at the end of the day really is distribution more than quality.
100%.
Like, possibly awards campaigns as well to some extent. But I don't know, like, an Uncut Gems had enough buzz around it and enough talk that
it
should have been
nominated. Yeah, that was a
proper snub, yeah. Yeah, a very odd choice, I think, to
snub. What is it? Is it Adam Sandler? Is it The Sandman?
No,
because the Sandman speech in the Independent Spirit Awards was the greatest
speech.
Was like,
Oscars,
you could have had this, man.
Sure.
You could have had Adam Sandler on stage. That would have been the most amount of marketing your show could have got than anything else. Like, you know, like getting Adam Sandler an Oscar. It's like unparalleled, man.
Maybe they should ask him to host it. I do disagree with this narrative that, like, wow, Adam Sandler's got like this depth in him and he's a good actor now.
Well, he's been a good actor
for like more than 25 years, dude.
He's in a PTA film.
He's been in a bunch. Yeah, he's done like that PTA film is possibly my favorite performance of his. Fantastic.
Yeah.
He's done that. Like, he's done so many great serious roles.
Yeah.
Like, the list is endless at this point. Mm-hmm. And he's been great in, like, a bunch of comedies as well.
Yeah, he's good in comedies. That's the other thing that people don't get. Like,
in a good acting way. Yes. Like, sure, he does
silly
nothing
shit.
Other than just being an Adam Sandler in a minor movie, like, in a comedy movie. But in things like A Click, that's a good comedic performance.
Yeah.
Where he's not just playing himself.
Is it? Okay. That's one that I didn't see.
That's great, man.
I've seen just the big hits.
Rain Over Me. Great film.
Fantastic performance.
Don Cheadle and him. Solid.
No!
Yeah. Great movie. Alright, let's
wrap
this
up. Mother up.
Adam Sandler's great. The Sandman is great.
Maybe I'll get around to seeing Green Book now.